The Tantrum House Board Game Podcast is recorded live from Studio WKRB in Greenville, South Carolina. This podcast is brought to you by our friendly local game store, Boardwalk, purveyors of fine games, Bezier Games, the new classics, Final Frontier Games, bringing friends and family closer together, The Game Steward, your second chance at Kickstarter games, and Game Toppers LLC, upgrading your gaming experience. Your hosts are Prognosticator Supreme, peering into the swirling mist of future Kickstarters and glimpsing the diamonds in the rough. So buckle up. Seriously, especially if you're driving right now, because you're about to arrive at the Tantrum House.
Hello, hello, and welcome to the show. Today we've got Will Meadows,
Sarah Meadows,
Kevin Delp,
and Melissa Delp
in the house.
We just got back from our game night at the Red Barn.
Yep, yep.
Always have a good time hanging out there with some familiar faces, and then almost always there's some new faces that pop up.
Yeah, I think we had like 40 people.
Yeah, we packed out. At one point, I went to go find a table, and I was like, oh, never mind. All the tables are full. We've already outgrown the space.
Hopefully that doesn't happen at Tantrum Con.
I kind of hope it does, but I understand. We don't want it to be too full. Make sure everybody can fit in there. So, we've played a bunch of different games tonight, and we've got a couple interviews on the show, and we've got a bunch of Kickstarters to talk about, and a couple prizes to give away.
Yeah.
So where should we begin?
Let's talk about games we played real quick.
Okay, cool. What did you guys play at Red Barn?
I played Rake Holt with a couple friends. Andy Deese will be at Tantrum Con teaching the game, and he ordered a copy a while back, and it keeps getting pushed off.
He said he ordered it like 5 months ago.
Yes.
He doesn't have it in his hand.
No, that's crazy.
Well, at least you taught it to him.
I taught it and gave him our copy, so he has it ready to go. He had already done the rules, and he ended up winning by one table.
He's been secretly strategizing.
I know.
He did say he watched the videos on how to play and stuff, so he was like ready to go, just hadn't actually gotten his hands
where
on
is
it.
The based in the game?
It is based in Rake Holt, Iceland. Yes.
Iceland game. Cool.
Yeah, pretty cool art. Lots of fun. It's very
Uwe.
Yeah, it's very Uwe.
Lots of vegetables.
Right. Plant that garden and then watch it grow and harvest from it. And then there's a pretty interesting mechanic on how you get yourself around the board where you take vegetables that you have to serve some tables. But then if you get to a table where you don't have the necessary vegetables, you can pull them from the supply. And it's thematically weird, but it's really interesting in the way you take your turns and how you decide how far you're going to go each time.
The timing is really crucial on this one. And you go along the beginning and like, oh yeah, this is good. This is a good worker placement. And then you get to the end and it's like, so much thinking involved in that last two rounds.
Two turns. You got to plan it out perfectly if you want to excel and be awesome.
I played Cryptid for the first time from Osprey Games.
That looked really cool.
Yes. It's a deduction type game. Sort of think Mastermind.
Ooh, so I'm going to like it.
You'll like it. It's certain information. The whole theme is about cryptozoology, and there's,
is that like a thing, or did they just invent that for the game?
No, it's cryptozoology is a thing about like animals like that may or may not be real.
So, okay.
Like that's the Loch Ness Monster, they're cryptids. So we pretended that the animal we were looking for is the chupacabra.
I already found him.
So
no, it's Sasquatch. We found Sasquatch in Alaska this summer.
Oh, way to go! Good job.
Yeah, that would be another animal. Anyway, every player, it's a competitive game. You're all looking for the chupacabra. Whoever finds that first wins the game. You all have a little bit of information that you know that no one else knows. Like, I knew the chupacabra was either in the mountains or in the water. Like, there's lots of these water hexes and mountain hexes, but someone else might know the chupacabra has to be within one space of a water tile.
Oh, okay.
So there's not all exactly the same terrain type thing. There's some structures that you put out on the board to seed the board. It could be like, it has to be within three spaces of a white structure or something like that.
Is it kind of like Clue where you're revealing your cards to each other?
No, you don't reveal anything. So basically I can ask you, I basically put this little like pawn marker on a spot where I think he may be. And I'm like, Will, could Chupacabra be on this spot? And if you know, then you have to say no, it couldn't. You put your little cube on there. But if it could be on the spot, then you put your a disc on there. So lots of, like, the board's starting to fill up with cubes and discs, and you're like,
oh. So almost Minesweeper in, yeah. Like, oh, okay, ooh. Interesting.
So, anyway, yeah, I'm looking forward to, there's an easy mode and a hard mode. I'm looking forward to the hard mode. It's, I think the hard mode brings into, it could be not within three of,
like, that. So a little bit more complex, yeah. With the clues.
With the clues that you have. So, Melissa, what'd you play?
I played Azul.
Okay.
So that's a good favorite.
I've lost once.
I finally won.
Hey.
But it was all against new people who I've never played before, so that might not be that much of an achievement. I also played Passing Through Petra
from Renegade.
Mm-hmm. And it's a very interesting game that doesn't really fit a lot of descriptions. It has an action selection mechanic, but...
The tile movement is weird.
Right.
Or I should say different.
The goal, though, is to get rid of your influence cubes. So it's not a victory point. It's a race to get rid of your influence cubes. And it starts off pretty slow, and you're like, oh, is it ever going to happen? This game's going to be long. And then all of a sudden, someone will put out three or four cubes in one turn, and you're going, oh, they only have, like, two left. Now what? So the flow of the game kind of lulls you into a false sense that, hey, everything's going to be okay.
And it ramps up real quick at the end.
Yes.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. I like some of those. I played one game that's coming to Kickstarter soon, and it's top secret, and we'll probably talk about it in another episode. Then I played Wits and Wagers, which is not usually my favorite game, but I won, so that helped. I am terrible at those trivia types of games, and so I did horrible like the first several rounds. I finally got a couple chips in my hand, and then managed to basically nail the final answer.
You just went all in?
Yeah, and I went all in, did like the 4-for-1, 4-over-1 or whatever, pulled back a bunch of money.
He had a cool mat.
He did, yeah. I guess that's a new thing, I don't know.
Yeah.
He had like a deluxe play mat that...
So did anybody do the 10-to-1 and just bet on one person?
I think one guy did one time just to try it out.
Did it work?
No, it didn't work. But it also has, like, it divides the guesses, like, into the highs and the lows. So instead of guessing, like, instead of betting on one specific card, you can, like, bet on these three cards that are in this area. And that's, like, a 1-to-1. So you don't get a great reward off of it, but your chances of pulling back something are a lot higher than having to specifically guess one thing or whatever. So I'm not describing the game well. It's a pretty popular game. If you know what it is, you know what I'm talking about. Then I played Tournament of Towers, which is a Kickstarter game that's coming sometime soon, I think.
Already kickstarted.
Oh, okay, it was, yes, earlier this year. Really cool components to that game. It's a card drafting game where you select which pieces you're going to end up playing with. Then you program the order that you're going to play those pieces in, and then you have to stack them all up as a dexterity game.
You physically stack up the pieces.
And super fun. Everybody was laughing and having a good time and knocking their stuff over accidentally and... Had a good time. We kept it casual, didn't even really keep a score. And then I played one other game, which Sarah, I think, would love. It was called Robot Ricochet.
Oh, yes. Sorry.
Which I'd never seen before. I think it's an older game.
I thought so.
She wouldn't love that game. And it's a puzzle game where it's all grid-based. You've got, like, four robots on the board, and then you reveal a token, and you have to figure out the least number of moves it would take you to get a robot to move in a straight line around all these, like, obstacles and walls to get to the robot. So sometimes it was like, oh, yeah, everybody looks at it, you flip the token, somebody else, 5, I can get there in 5. And then you flip over the timer, and everybody else has, 30 seconds to see if they can figure out a shorter way to get there. And the first couple were, like, 5-6 moves, we figured it out. We get to this one, and I was like, I'm looking for, like, 2 solid minutes, and I cannot figure out how to do it. And then the other guy who owns the game finally says, like, okay, I think I can do it in 40.
40?
Are you serious? And he did it. It took him 40 moves, and it was like, you can move the other robots, too. So he had to, like, move one robot to create a wall so his dude would bounce off of it. So he'd go around the board all these crazy times. The guy who ended up winning is actually... an engineer, and so that makes good sense. It was crazy. I think I finished like 2 or 3. There was one poor girl who didn't get a single robot across the board, and then the guy who won, I think, did like 7 or 8 successfully. But it was really interesting. It was not like a high intensity game. It was just stare at it and figure it out. But people who like those puzzle types of things would, I think, get a kick out of it. It was really interesting, a different type of game entirely.
And what was that called?
Robot Ricochet. I don't even remember who published it.
I think it's an older game.
Yeah.
Well, if there's none other game, why don't we jump into our shout-out to our episode sponsor.
This episode is sponsored by PvP Geeks. Their game, Skytear, is on Kickstarter now. It's a card-driven, MOBA-inspired miniatures game. You control a team of legendary heroes that's fighting on a flying arena to win the favor of their gods.
Yeah, we talked about this last week. I think intern Dan spent a little time on it.
Okay, I was going to say, it sounds really familiar. Yeah, I think I might have missed it because I was late last week, but I remember seeing art for this, which looked really cool.
Yeah, it's got a cool box cover and cool art inside. So I think they're from Italy, the company. So,
oh, cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, it looks like an interesting one for sure.
Should we jump into our Kickstarter conniption?
Let's do it.
Kickstarter conniption.
This episode, we'll be talking about 9 games coming to Kickstarter the week of February 4th, 2019. Kevin, start us off.
Dr. Finn's Games is launching a promo pack for The Little Flower Shop on February 5th on Kickstarter. This is a 1-4 player drafting type game, and it's a very simple drafting type game, and a lot of people have said that it feels a little too simple. The one really cool, interesting thing about the game, Little Flower Shop, is the art itself. You actually have this little player board, and you're actually building your flower shop. So you're putting vases in the flower in the windows and hanging little flower paints. So I think the board itself is what draws people in, and the artwork is really cool. But the game mechanics, people said, is a little too simple. It's like, I get a card, draft a card, and I place it in my thing. So it's very, very simple that way. What the promo pack brings in is just a little bit more depth to the game. So you can check out the Little Flower Shop promo pack called the Potpourri Expansion.
Nice.
On February 5th from Dr. Finn's Games. Melissa.
Well, this game might already be on Kickstarter, or it may be coming this week. And it is High Rise by Formal Ferret Games, designed by Gil Hova. This is a game for 1-4 players. It plays about an hour and a half to maybe 2 hours.
Sure.
And this is a strategic city building game. There is a action selection mechanic that is similar to Sir Francis Drake, if you're familiar with that game, where you can move along this path, but you can only go in one direction. So if you pass up action spaces to take one further down the path, you cannot move backwards to go back and take those actions. And you're trying to get floors for your buildings, and there are blueprints that need certain colors. So one of the blueprints may be, you need 2 blue, 2 green, a yellow, and an orange. So if you can collect those floors, then at a certain action space, you can build the building into a certain neighborhood, and each neighborhood has a certain number of tenants, and you can build your building on that tenant card and receive the power of that card. You're trying to get the most points, but throughout the game, you're probably going to pick up some corruption along the way, because that's going to let you do more powerful actions or maybe extra actions. And you need to balance that because there are penalties for having too much corruption. So it's kind of a little bit of push your luck. How far do I go? How much corruption do I try to stay uncorrupt, or do I use it and hope that I can lose my corruption throughout the game? It's played either over 2 rounds if you want to play a shorter game, or 3 rounds. And Kevin and I have a preview video for this one, so we enjoyed playing it. It started to click after a little bit.
It's medium heavy game, just because there's so much going on. Once you understand it, it's definitely a lot faster.
Yeah, there's a lot of choices to make and special actions and bonuses that you can get along the way.
Our video is very prototypey. Like, it's like
right,
really, really basic. No art. Even the blocks are these little square tiles. But knowing what the game will be really interests me because it looks like the tile, the buildings will be more like Expanse City, if you've seen those. It looks like it's going to be some interlocking, like, towers.
Plastic pieces instead of the little wooden ones that we had for our video. But that is Expanse City.
No, it's not. It's called High Rise.
Kevin had just mentioned Expanse City. This is High Rise from Formal Ferret Games, coming soon to Kickstarter. Will.
So I'm looking at the game Incoming Transmission from Magic Meeple Games. I believe this is a relaunch of an earlier campaign. It's a pretty cool game, and I think we have a review of it on our channel preview. Yep. It's very, like, Super Nintendo stylized. It looks like some kind of cool Return of Samus Metroid Zone type of game. And it plays a smidgen like Codenames, maybe. You have a bunch of square cards that go out on the table to make your map, and then you're trying to, one person is like the mission control guy giving instructions to everybody else, trying to help them get to move throughout the ship and to pick up components and take them to other locations and install them and get suit upgrades. And there's all kinds of different things in the game that might be your missions for the game, and that changes each time. And in addition to that, the way the game works is that the mission control guy gives clues to everybody else in the form of cards that tell them which direction to move in or to pick up something or to drop it off. And so the twist in the game is that he picks those cards, and then his incoming transmission can get garbled sometimes based on, like, the round card. So he might have to, like, not give them to them in order, or he might have to remove a card or different things like that, which can make it really difficult for the people to decipher what he's trying to get him to work towards. But pretty cool team game, plays for 2 to 5 players. It takes about 30 to 45 minutes. This one, I really enjoy the art style. We had a lot of fun playing with it. It's a quick one to put out on the table, and it's not real hard to understand, which is nice. But then working with your team can be really crazy, trying to get them like, no, I just need you to go to the left, please go west, you know, type of thing. So that internal silent struggle as you try to get your team to go where you want them to go. Pretty interesting one. Definitely a lot of fun. I hope they fund this time because it is a pretty cool little small box game that it looks like a fun one that I think people would enjoy. Sarah, what do you got next?
Coming February 4th is Xerxes. This is from designers Harry Harampo. Oh, I thought I was going to get this. Okay. Hera Lampidus and Lefteris Eroglidus.
Wow. Way to go.
They're from Greece.
We are clearly not.
Yeah, sorry. And this is from publisher Alcyon Creative. They've had several other successful Kickstarters. And this one is a 1 to 4 player game. It plays in about 30 to 60 minutes, and that probably depends on player count. In the game, you are a satrap that has been appointed by Xerxes, and you have an area of the map that you are governing, and you must stay in his favor. And so you have some taxation cards that you'll need to fulfill, and you have some campaign cards that you'll need to fulfill. And so on your turn, you have 2 pawns that you'll place somewhere on the map on an empty location. And each of those locations on the map have 3 resources that you can claim, or you can claim the military unit that's on the space. And you'll have to decide which one you'll want to do. You can only hold 3 of each resource, so you have to be careful not to go over that limit because then they're just wasted. And then there are also buildings you can build using those resources to gain victory points and also cause an opponent to lose victory points since you have moved up the ranks in Xerxes' eyes. I think one thing that was very interesting to me in this game was the turn order track. You can, instead of placing a pawn on the board, you can go to the turn order track to change the turn order, but it doesn't just slide all the tokens down in a specific order. You can rearrange them however you would like, and the first 2 spaces give one gives you a negative resource, and one you lose a military unit, and then the 3rd and 4th spaces gain those items. And so you can use that to your advantage if you can't quite get what you need from the board. So this one will be coming out February 4th, Xerxes. Kevin.
February 7th, Tetrahedron Games is launching their 2nd game in the Dota-esque line called Cherry Blossom. The gameplay and actions are basically the same as the first game, but it's got a new set of characters, landscapes, materials, and special actions. And you can actually combine those two games together to play up to 8 players. The game actually may launch February 14th. I did say February 7th. They're not sure exactly, so it's one of the... It's coming up soon. But the campaign's only going to last for a week. So, wow. Look out for that. There's going to be an early bird special. Haha. Sorry.
I get it.
Ching. And there's a collector's figure as well. I actually saw a picture of it. Actually, it's a pretty cool collector's figure of a dodo bird. You can get the original game as well, called Jungle Fever. And to top it all off, it's free worldwide shipping.
Wow.
So, Melissa, you got another one? I want you guys both to talk about In the Hall of the Mountain King.
Sure.
Oh, wait, why don't you talk about the other game?
Which one?
In the Hall of the
Mountain. So, In the Hall of the Mountain King is being published by Burnt Island Games, coming to Kickstarter. And this one is a worker placement and tile placement and a little bit of area control all thrown together.
Yeah, there was a lot going on, but not so much that it wasn't too complex or overwhelming.
You guys saw this somewhere?
We played this.
Yes.
What?
We played it at PAX Unplugged. Yes.
This one has a very interesting mechanic to gain your resources that you will need to build the tiles. You're building a path into the mountain to gain treasure. And on your turn, you start the game with 4 trolls, and you can acquire additional trolls to add to your crew. And when you do that, you will stack them in a pyramid. And when you gain another troll, it will gain the resources listed that it will pick up. And then all the ones that are cascading below that troll will also gain those resources. And then you can pick them off or take them from each of those trolls as turns go on. And so the further up you and larger you are able to build that pyramid, the more resources you gain so you can get more stuff.
Right, but you have to take the stuff off of the lower rungs on the pyramid, because if it's already full, it's not going to repopulate with resources. So there's a little bit of that timing aspect of, oh, do I get a new troll? Oh, I'm not really going to get a huge benefit if I do it now because I already have stuff on some of my other trolls.
Yes, and then you are laying the tiles on the map and you're trying to build the tunnels through the mountain to pick up the buried gold, and you're erecting statues to gain victory points. And then if for some reason you do get blocked in the tunnels, there is another way to gain a lot of victory points, actually, by building a large area that you can make some of these cavern rooms in the mountain. So you will build a filled-in area instead of just a long snaking tunnel. So I really enjoyed this one. The artwork is fantastic, and this one will be coming to Kickstarter February 5th in the Hall of the Mountain King from Burnt Island Games. Will.
Another game that I have really enjoyed playing is Taktiki from Armored Panda. It's a 2-player abstract strategy game that looks like a chess game. You've got a chess board, basically, that you're starting off on. But you have these really cool, heavy-duty plastic, I don't know what they're made out of, tiki heads.
This is like the coolest prototype we've ever gotten, maybe.
It's an incredibly cool game component for sure.
It's
got to
be up there. We're in the top 10.
Yeah, top 10. It's a cool like stacking totem pole looking thing.
What Will and Sarah's top 10
next year? You got it on there. You have 2 different color ones. It's a 2-player game. Each of these tikis has a nice little wooden with a wood burned token on it. At least our version did. Number, and the numbers go from 1 to 5. And so as you're moving across the board on your turn, you can choose from 3 different actions.
And your opponent can't see these numbers.
Correct, yes. Secret numbers on just the back. And you can either move 1 piece 2 spaces, or 2 pieces 1 space, or you can put one of your dead tikis back onto the board for your entire turn. So those are the only 3 things you can do in the game. when your tiki gets to a space where it lands on top of another one, you then spin them around and compare the values, and the higher number tiki wins, removing the lower one from the board, and you can stack multiples. So you could have, like, your 1-5 stacks on top of this other guy's 4-3 and beats both of them. The crazy thing is, the one tiki, the number one value one, can beat 5.
Only 5.
Yes. So it's the lowest one, but it's also the one that can beat 5. So there's a whole lot of, like, kind of playing chicken in the game where you kind of send your 5 out and kill a couple of their people, and then all of a sudden the 1 jumps on you, and so now you know where that 1 is, so you avoid that with your other 5. The way you win the game is by either getting 5 of your tiki all the way across the board and covering their 5, like, spawn points, the bases that they start on, or getting 5 of them across the board and stacking them all up on top of each other in one row.
One tower,
yeah.
Can you only move orthogonally?
You can only move more orthogonally, and you cannot move backwards. Okay. So you have to move forward in the game. Really, really cool.
Yeah.
Very chess-like when you play with adults.
The rules are very simple.
Yes,
but
so kids can play it pretty easily as well.
Strategic and thinky.
Do you know where the Tactiki's name come from?
Like Tactic Tiki's?
Nope.
I don't know.
Tak is the Polynesian sun god, and the Tiki is the god of rain, their rivals.
Oh, interesting. Okay, so I read that in the instruction manual. That is the storyline that they play off of. Yep. But I did not realize that those were the actual meanings of those words. That's even better, because it sounds perfect. Yeah, really cool. 20 to 60 minutes, coming to Kickstarter soon. Armored Panda, if you like abstract strategy games, definitely check out Tactiki. Kevin, you got one more?
Yes, on February 8th, Laughing Rogue launches Gods of Metal. The Chosen is a 1-4 player, 30 to 90 minute game, and these creatures from the outside are trying to gain entry into the world, and you are one of these gods of metal who are basically gathering your band together and fighting this power, this darkness away, and you are trying to defend the universe, and the overlords are the ones that are trying to destroy the land, so you're trying to defend and win and save everything and defeat the overlords. So check out that game coming February 8th from Laughing Rogue Games. Will, why don't you talk about this last game?
The one that I'm not really allowed to talk about?
Yes.
Okay. So there's a game coming from, can I say what it's from?
From Renegade.
From Renegade Game Studios.
Yes.
It's for 2-something players.
We can talk about the designer.
It plays in 45 to 60 minutes.
Aren't you excited?
And it's from designer Mike Elliott.
Yeah.
If you look up Board Game Geek, you won't find anything, but keep an ear out. We'll definitely have more information
next week.
Soon. It's based on a pretty cool movie theme that you will be familiar with if you are as old as me, and we'll give you more information soon.
Sounds good. Let's jump into our interview with our house guest. We have David Gerard from Junk Spirit Games in the house. Welcome.
Hey.
Hey, thanks, man.
So you have Battle of the Bards on Kickstarter right now. Tell us a little bit about the game Battle of the Bards.
Yeah, it's a dice rolling game with deck building aspects. So we kind of took those two different kind of concepts and shoved them together for a really unique experience. It's a lot of fun, and it obviously has a very musical theme to it. You don't have to sing or anything like that, but it's themed inside of our Tessendor universe, which is our family friendly fantasy universe that we're building into. So we've got more lore and stuff like that. It's a lot of fun.
Cool. What made you come up with this theme? I know you had the Tessendor world that you've been building. What made you think, I want to make this kind of game?
Yeah, you know, it was what do you call it? Like a dad joke. It was a dad joke that Justin told me, my artist, Justin Hillgrove. He said, hey, wouldn't it be cool? You know what, Battle of the Bands? I was like, yeah, okay. He's like, what about Battle of the Bards? And of course he says that in this cool way, like he just dropped the biggest bomb on me. And I said, dude, you're a nerd. You're the worst. And then I milled around in my head for a few weeks, and I thought, actually, that's a really good idea. We can make a game where basically you are, running a band of bards, and you're just basically keeping you're trying to basically just compete against other bands of bards. And so then I thought, you know, what kind of unique mechanics do I want to work with? And I always wanted to make a game where you just roll tons of dice. And so then it just kind of came about in that way. So yeah, just kind of what we did, with all of that.
Yeah, Kevin and I have played the game. We have a preview video. And
yeah,
I was going to mention the dice. It's just so rewarding when you get to lay down all those cards to get extra dice, and then you're rolling a whole handful all at once. I did enjoy that aspect of it.
Yeah, thank you. No, that was the thing when we put it together, that when we started really getting a good prototype out and we started to bring it to events, the biggest feedback that we got is people loved the fact that you get dice from your cards, you then use the dice for your cards' abilities in this weird kind of cyclic mechanic that really is, you know, mechanically, or I guess by balance and everything, is very tight and still feels very strategic, even though you're rolling dice, which is, you know, random, right? But you still feel like you have a lot of control of what's going on in the game, and people really enjoy it.
I would say also the game is very easy to teach. We actually took it up to family at Christmas up in Pennsylvania. And when we introduced it to ourselves and our family at this like same time, we were reading the rules. Oh, right. And we're like, why don't we play this prototype? And, you know, we play a lot of prototypes, and it's nice to we have different groups that we play prototypes with, but we never really play them with family too often because we're not with them up, you know, except at Christmas and, you know, holiday times. So they picked it up pretty quickly.
Yeah, that's awesome. Thank you. That's great to hear. We definitely strive to do that, right? Is to get a game that's strong enough that, I mean, you know, strategically good enough that people that are really into games enjoy it and don't get bored out of their minds, but then also simplistic enough that people, that essentially new gamers, young gamers, can pick it up pretty easy as well.
Yeah, my mother loves frogs, so having the frog characters in the game was a real exciting selling point for her.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Justin Hillgrove's art, he's always got like a really good whimsical feel to everything he does. And I just basically kind of stood back and let him make anything he wanted when he was making the different characters in this world. And so everything, we have some humans in there, but more, probably 80% of the characters in the game are just different animals kind of in human form. So yeah, it's great.
Our listeners like to hear like some of the behind the scenes of Kickstarter creators and designers and publishers. I know that Battle of the Bards was on Kickstarter a week or two ago. You decided to take the campaign down and relaunch. Tell me a little bit about the process and the story behind that.
Yeah, that's a good story. And I've talked about this a number of times, and I think it's really important to kind of show, you know, this is our fourth game. And so we initially put it out and we thought we're going to do well with it, and we were doing well with it. It was going to fund for sure. But what happens is when you're running a little publishing company like this, and we're only a 3-person team, but you constantly get inundated with people telling you, hey, you know, you should work with us. And, you know, manufacturers like, oh, I can give you a better deal. And so we had a company come out to us and say that about maybe 6 or 7 months ago. And over time, they kind of were winning us over. And eventually, about a month ago, they sent us a prototype. Which they don't normally do without you paying an extensive amount of money. They just sent us a preview copy, and they said, this is what we're going to do for quality. And the quality was super good. So then I asked them to give us, then I looked at the quote that they gave us, and the quote was based on a stripped down version of the game, which is not the game that we're offering through the Kickstarter. It only had 40 dice in it, for example, and blah, blah, blah. So I sent them a message and I said, here's what the updated spec would be. And I did not think that was going to come back as low as it did. And it came back probably 3 days after we started the Kickstarter. Like, here's our new quote. And I looked at it and I was like, hey guys, on the team, you know, hey guys, we're going to be able to, if we could, we could actually close our Kickstarter down, just let it go and bring the game back and actually offer a better value to everybody. And so it just seemed like a real slam dunk. And obviously, you know, we when we relaunched today, we actually, funded in like 3 hours. So obviously that was a good call. And I think that all the backers are kind of seeing the value we're doing. And it's kind of what we're known for anyways. We always do the right thing by the customer, obviously. And I think that, we're really excited about being able to do it this way because we're able to just basically just throw in a lot of extras on everybody who is just basically, you know, putting a lot of faith in us and in our ability to get a game to the table. So
besides price, was there anything else that drew you to this company, or was there some of the things that they were offering that,
that's a good question too, because I think that a lot of people have said, well, hey, you better watch it. When you switch like midstream like that, you're going to get in trouble. And I 100% agree with that. In this case, I actually have an old friend that runs a company that is actually a president of one of the major companies. And he was giving me some really good advice. And he was the one who drew me to this manufacturer. And he said, hey, you need to watch what these guys are doing because they're about to blow up and they're looking for clients. And I can, you know, guarantee that it's going to be a good deal for you. And I don't think that I would have done it or even taken, you know, you always got to watch that when somebody's like going to promise you the world. Right. And so if I didn't have that old friend that I've known for, you know, 20 plus years, basically saying, no, this is the right path 100%. I don't think that I would have done it because it's really hard to really, you know, to go down those kind of paths that are so new when you have so many different people, you know, looking at you and kind of depending on you to deliver a good game. So the fact that we could get quality was the main thing. Our previous company that we were working with, they have made some mistakes in the past. Not mistakes that customers haven't noticed, but stuff we've noticed, like a small tint in color, you know, that we didn't ask for, stuff like that. And that kind of stuff, like, really, it grades on me. And so we were already kind of wanting to move to another manufacturer. And so obviously the price is a big deal. And if it was just price alone, I probably wouldn't have switched the campaign around, other than to create another tier inside the campaign that was previously running. But because of the way that these guys are essentially offering us the ability to, like, make guitar picks and things like that, I mean, not guitar picks, but like extras, kind of, so to speak, like the little booster pack thing, we had that as an idea, but their offer on it was a lot stronger, and they give us better numbers for the minimums that we need to order, which actually makes it so that overall my company can save money over time, even if the campaign doesn't blow up.
So your main base reward level is at $29 for the game?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's the core level. The thing is initially the game's retail is going to be 40. With the previous manufacturer, the retail was going to be 50. So by doing that, we decided to basically just give people even a better discount and bring it down 11 more dollars, which, you know, brings it to 29. And so previously we were giving a $5 discount and then essentially giving you free shipping, which essentially is kind of the same thing. But so by doing it this way, we're able to, you know, just basically give a better deal, right? Give the stripped down version of the game. And then because of this manufacturer, we're able to throw in the booster pack and the guitar picks at the kind of our mid-tier level, what we call our veteran bard level, at essentially the same price as before. So essentially the previous campaign's level that was just the base game, same price. Now you're getting an extra pack of cards, extra content, and the guitar picks essentially for free.
Yeah, Kickstarter is so competitive right now. There's so many games that are launching every single week, absolutely, every single day. So being able to offer that value to your backers, I think, is really going to be a good thing for your company and for the campaign. And like you said, you've funded in just a few hours. So I think you've already seen that.
Oh, yeah. No, absolutely. And that, yeah, everything you said is 100% right. Absolutely.
What are some of the exciting things that you're excited about in the campaign?
So we've got some cool things that we are going to do. You know, people keep on asking for little ads. Or like stretch goal items that they don't know that we've already definitely thought about. And I'm excited to bring them forward. We've got some cool ideas. With this game itself, this is the first game that we are really making that is really easy to expand. So we're looking forward to be able to just basically fill out the Tessendor universe, our family-friendly, you know, fantasy universe, even more with this game. So it's kind of like, it's this weird, like, win-win-win-win-win for us. This game, you know, this game doing well for us is obviously going to obviously make us some money and let us run around to all these events and meet all these great people. But it will also let us kind of like fill out the world even more, which is going to be awesome as well.
Well, we wish you success for Battle of the Bards. Before we let you go, tell me what game that's on your shelf that you want to play soon.
Soon. Oh, yeah. You know, I always say, you know, one of the ones I'm always like looking to play is I have so many models of Blood Bowl. I'm a big Games Workshop fan, and I'm always looking to play more games of Blood Bowl. My daughters are getting to an age where I can start kind of teaching them more strategic games, and I'm looking forward to actually bringing the Blood Bowl to them in probably around summertime. So, but as far as the next game I'm looking to play, I actually, this weekend, we're going to be playing some Imperial Assault. I've got the app going, all ready to go, and of course, I'm a huge Star Wars fan, so so yeah, looking forward to playing some Imperial Assault.
Blood Bowl, they do like tournaments or is there like teams?
Yeah,
like
absolutely. There's like
leagues. That's what I was like. Leagues. Thank you. The word I was looking for, leagues. I actually have my chiropractor actually is in a Blood Bowl league with his family.
That's awesome. That's awesome. That's the kind of stuff I'm talking about. Stuff is so
he's
fun.
Like every Saturday at the board game store doing that. So yeah, it's kind of that's good to hear.
That's awesome.
I've only put Imperial Assault one time. So most of you.
Yeah, no, it's good. With the new app system, they've made it really really something to work towards. I'm not a big fan of like 1v-many games, you know, but with the app, it basically takes over that DM role and basically makes it so you're playing, you know, you're essentially kind of playing a dungeon crawler inside of a Star Wars universe. It's really good.
Cool. Well, it was great having you on the show today, David, and we wish you all the success for Battle of the Bards. Once again, tell me, tell our listeners where they can find more information about Junk Spirit Games and when your campaign is ending.
Yeah, no, absolutely. You know, you can always find me personally on Twitter, which is just at and Dagger, D-A-G-E-R-R, right? Dagger spelled incorrectly. And then obviously you can find Junk Spirit Games on Twitter, just Junk Spirit Games, and you can find us on Instagram, same name, Junk Spirit Games, all one word, and then junkspiritgames.com as well. Now, the campaign itself will be closing on Wednesday, February 27th, roughly 30 days away.
Great. Thanks again, and I hope you have a great rest of the day.
Awesome. Thanks, man.
Bye. It's great having David on the show, and we're excited about his campaign for Battle of the Bards, and he has told us that he's going to make a special promo card for Tantrum House for our Kickstarter.
Can't wait.
Awesome.
So I guess like every week we'll just announce a new promo card too. So if you want to listen and see, hear all the juicy behind the scenes, there will be a promo card for Battle of the Bards for Tantrum House, and it'll be cool. It's created just for us for our Kickstarter campaign coming exciting. April 2nd. So spread the word about that. But right now we have a couple giveaways for some games that we talked about in the past. So our first one is Koi from Smirk and Laughter Games. Roll the beautiful dice there, Will.
Okay, roll your roll. All right.
And the winner is Ricky Pittman.
Hey!
Congratulations,
Ricky. Koi's a pretty cool one. Very beautiful game. Really like the style of art that they used on it. It's kind of like a... I hate to compare it to checkers because that sounds like you're watering it down, but it's like a game where you're controlling where your koi moves in this pond in order to try to collect toads and dragonflies, and it's got some really nice little bits to it. Pretty cool. Really good one.
And our second game that is part of the giveaway is The Champion of the Wild, and this is actually from a company that has their second edition of Champion of the Wild is coming. Big Imagination Games. Thanks, Will. Big Imagination Games. They have their Kickstarter launching. I think it's already on Kickstarter for their second edition of Champion of the Wild. So you can check that out. But the winner of this giveaway is...
Roll the dice, Will.
Da-da-da!
William Angus. Congratulations. William.
Cool, man. Have fun with this one. Thanks for competing and joining and winning.
Cool.
Hopefully we'll have some other giveaways coming really soon. We always enjoy when we can get a sponsor to hook us up with something fun to give away to our audience. Be sure to check out the Champion of the Wild Kickstarter campaign if you're not familiar with that one. What else do we need to talk about? I feel like we got to talk about a little Tantrum Con.
We do, because this comes out February 4th. The next week is Tantrum Con.
What? Wow.
So I'm saying it right here. You're hearing it. Next week's Tantrum Con.
Wow. I really literally can't even believe it.
And yeah, it's crazy.
It is. One really cool thing that I got done this past week, only took me 11 hours on Saturday, was the Tantrum Con printed program that we're going to be doing. Whew. And it was the
Melissa type was proofreading that.
She was. Thank you for the good help.
She
hopefully
didn't
we
catch everything.
She probably did not.
That's okay.
I probably included secret other ones that hidden in there.
What was the funny one? Budgie.
The game.
A giant budgie.
The game Bungies.
Bungies. Instead of bundles.
A bundle of
anyway,
games.
Sorry. Continue.
The coolest part about that was that, like, for the first time, I caught a glimpse of how cool this thing is going to be. Like, we've been working on it all year. We've had a lot of really great people who've assisted and contributed and donated and who will be exhibiting there. But to see it all in one place was pretty cool. Like, I hit export on it. It's like, I don't even know, 14 pages of events, I think.
Awesome.
Play to wins, tournaments, learn to plays, VIPs, special events, and lots of people already signed up for them. Lots of space still, so if you're still listening, you should join us. It feels real. It's getting really real.
I'm very excited about all of the prizes and giveaways that we have to give out to people. I think everyone should be going home with a game.
It definitely seems like it.
And or maybe a handful. I don't know.
The cool thing is, like, I thought, like, 2 or 3 weeks ago, man, we've got a great collection of games. And then still, like, even up to this point, we have new people, like, publishers and different groups contacting us saying, hey, is it too late? We want to support you guys. I think CMON is sending us, like...
No. Come on.
Come on. Ooh, good correction. Is sending us, like, 10 boxes of games or something crazy. There's going to be a lot of fun stuff being given away just... for fun.
Yeah, so Monica, Rasso, and I went to Spartanburg today. We did a final run through of the space to make sure all our signage is great, so you have an easy time finding where everything is. We also met with a group from downtown Spartanburg, and the businesses down there are very excited to have Tantrum Con coming to Spartanburg. They were all excited that...
they want your money, but...
Well, some of them are going to come as just people coming to the event. And they are very excited that something like this exists and people just come to have a good time playing games.
Yeah. Tell us a little bit. I can't remember what you said the name of the restaurant was, but one of the places sounded like the perfect hangout for after the event or something like that.
It's called The Flat.
The Flat.
Okay. They hosted our...
So a Sunday night after party?
maybe.
Possibly. They hosted our meeting today in their upper room that has some... It's a gaming space. So it's got a wide range
billiards of... billiards more?
It has billiards. It has some video game machines set up.
Pinball? Any pinball?
It did not have pinball, although they are just opening up. So... they had a cool artist come through and do some custom pieces for some of their countertops and tables and design in there.
So it might be really a cool place to hang out, seems like.
Yeah, and they want to turn it into some place to do board gaming as well. And so hopefully hook them up.
I guess we're moving to Spartanburg.
No, right? Come on, Greenville. Hook us up. We need a good place next year. Unless you guys like Spartanburg more, let us know. We're good with whatever. Plans are definitely coming together. I met with Boardwalk again today as well, our friendly local, the official friendly local game store of Tantrum House. Got all their details, so they're all set. Everything is coming together really well. Very exciting. We just got a bunch of custom dice in the mail. We've seen the lanyards. The pins are on the way. Like, cool stuff. It's going to be real cool. And I think that pretty much wraps up this episode. Thank you guys so much for joining us. We will be looking forward to seeing you in person at Tantrum Con. We're also going to be doing a live podcast recording from there, too. So that should be an exciting one. I don't know if you guys saw this. Secret inside note here. I scheduled the table flipping tournament in the middle of our podcast time. So that's just going to be part of the podcast.
That sounds
roll
like
it
an
in,
awful idea.
Flip the table, come back, finish talking about how great it was. It's going to be fantastic.
Awesome.
Hopefully you all join us. We will catch you then. See you later.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Tantrum House Board Game Podcast. If you liked any part of this at all, find and follow us on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and tantrumhouse.com. Like us, share us, email us, call us, or send us a postcard. Thank you!
Holmes, Holmes.
What is it, Watson?
I think we might have a new case. How can we help, Miss...
It's Mrs. Fields, and I need you to settle a dispute. We have a small home with room for one table. My husband wants a fancy gaming table, but I believe a dining table is more important. I'm sure you agree with me, Mr. Holmes.
What if I told you I could satisfy both your wishes?
I'd say that'd be astounding, Holmes.
The answer is the Holmes, or perhaps the Watson, depending on the size of your room.
You're not making any sense, old chap.
Those are the names of an ingenious product from Game Toppers LLC. The Toppers are a portable solution that turns your current table into a high-end gaming table at a fraction of the cost.
Do you mean to say that the topper can be put on and taken off the table with ease?
Absolutely.
Thank you, Mr. Holmes. You truly are as amazing as people say. I will take a look at Game Toppers LLC right away.